Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Blessing Jesus, bro.
Amen, amen. Also with us, as always, the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How you doing today, bro?
I'm doing fantastic in the Lord.
Well, praise God. We are excited because we just finished up a teaching covering a false prophet. And we're going to be digging into what the Bible actually says about profiling and understanding exactly what a false prophet is according to Scripture. But before we get into it, I just wanted to mention, guys, do not forget, we are coming out to Texas. I've actually had a number of people write to us, either email, right on YouTube, right on Facebook, asking about the exact dates and information. Guys, please go to blessedhopechapeltexas.org. Tony will put the exact link in case I misrepresented that name. But we are going to be out in Texas. March 24th will be in El Paso, but Joe's going to be doing a teaching out there. And then also the 25th, 26th, and 27th. On the 25th and 27th, we'll be in the San Antonio area. And then on the 26th, we will be in Corpus Christi. So we are really, really excited, guys. We want to see you guys out there. The whole team's going to be out there. We're even going to be recording the shows, not only all four of our Good Fight Radio shows for that week, but also 511 News. We're going to record them all, and I hope you guys can get involved with the show somehow. So if you guys can come and meet us and maybe even throw us some questions our way, we'll mention you guys on the show. But we got to get into an important topic because we dealt a lot with a lot of clips concerning Sean Bowles and what he's all about and some of the false prophecies that he admits and those around him that he said he's actually looked at. Sadly, that's what he should be doing, is looking out and calling them out for their false prophecies, but not calling them out and saying, hey, we can all be false prophets together,
yeah,
but calling them out and saying you shouldn't be prophesying anymore.
That's right.
But we're going to be looking at a number of false teachers when it comes to this specific area. Guys like Mike Bickle, guys like Rick Joyner, guys who literally teach false prophecies, and people still sit under their teachings ad nauseum. They go to their conferences, and over again, these guys are still thrusted upon the church, and people are still listening to them. So what we want to do in this episode, that'll be a little different than the last one, is to simply profile exactly what a false prophet looks like according to Scripture, not Sean Bowles' opinion, not Rick Joyner's opinion, not Mike Bickle's opinion, or any other man, but what does the Bible say about profiling a false prophet?
Yeah, amen. And this is huge. And you know what? Sometimes, and I have to just, and I really need this sometimes, because a lot of times we think, hey, you know, okay, there's a lot of the church that's being led astray, but there's a lot of people that have been awakened by God's word to the truth of deceptions that'll be prominent in the last days. And guess what? Sometimes, because I am so, I don't know, I fellowship with, you know, believers that are in the Word, that love the truth, and I'm constantly seeing people that are hungry for truth and discerning between right and wrong, behavior-wise, when it comes to teaching and so forth, that sometimes it's very easy to forget how lost so many people are in the churches. And I just recently, I'd say, I don't know, it's been the last few months or so, two different of our live stream groups, you know, and Chad plugged our Wednesday night message and our Sunday message. We have a live stream audience that's just beautiful out there. But in the last few months, I've heard from leaders from two different the live stream home fellowships that said the same thing, basically. Both of these folks, both of these leaders in their prospective groups, part of the leadership there, one leader of the family and the wife of another, of a husband who leads a group with her, both of them had stated that people aren't aware that they went from church to church to church to church, And they weren't aware at first. I mean, both groups had said, the leadership in both these groups said, you know what, we were going all over the place thinking, you know, a lot of these, you know, the people that are making false prophecies or part of these prophetic movements and, you know, part of Hillsong or the Bethel movement and, you know, on and on and on. And they'd give a list. We didn't have a clue until they came in contact with our stuff and some stuff by others as well, that their eyes were open, like, whoa. And then they said, but keep, both of them said, keep doing it, because there's so many people that we used to fellowship with that have, you know, shunned anybody that will speak truth in them, that are blind in this. And I'm not kidding. They're saying so many people are just going, they had no idea that the scriptures had warning after warning after warning about testing people claiming to be prophets, about testing false brethren, about watching out for false doctrine. Now their eyes are open. One of the things I shared recently in a Bible study I gave was that there was a seminary, a professor said, you know what, I want you guys to go throughout the New Testament, let's do a survey of the New Testament and see what is the most, what's emphasized in the New Testament more than anything else. And the article I read was that, you know, they thought maybe it'd be love, unity, things of that nature. And guess what? At the end of the course, the students said, they surmised that the thing that's mentioned over and over again the most and stressed, that's emphasized throughout the New Testament, is not to be led astray by false doctrine.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's heavy, guys.
Yeah.
And I just read that recently, and I thought, wow, that goes with something I say often. I'll often make the point that almost every New Testament epistle letter, right, was written to correct false doctrine or wrong behavior. You know, the scripture is given for instruction and for correction and righteousness, the Bible says. That's why it's given to us, because God wants to pull us out of the world system and pull us out of the lies, save us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's imperative that we understand this, guys, that there's a lot of deception afoot. And sometimes, you know, we're aware of it and our audience is aware of it. We praise God for that. But guess what? God wants to use you and me, all of us together, to reach other people who are being led astray by these doctrines that are leading them away from Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to turn people on to the podcast. In fact, think about it. Think about, wow, who's a few people? Just, if everybody just turned it on, turned two or three people onto the podcast, yeah, by the grace of God, we have 1,000 people listening. But guess what? It would be great if we could reach far more people with the truth of God's word. So last week, as Chad mentioned, we played a, and Tony's awesome, man. I called him not long before the program, you know, the last program that we had done, and said, hey, Tony, can you grab a bunch of these clips? I think I gave him like 10, you know, called him back and asked for a couple more. You know, he didn't give me a hard time. You know, he's really good like that. He's under the gun. He knows I'm under the gun. So he captured a lot of these, but we played a lot of these clips. If you didn't listen to the last show and you thought, I don't know who Sean Bowles is, he is a prophet, so-called prophet, being profiled in a positive way by Fox News, a very conservative website, on their front page, and how he prophesied about Kanye West and his has prophecies about Donald Trump and so forth. And we're really concerned, because I was mentioning in the last episode that the Bible warns in the last days, Jesus warned that there'd be many false prophets, they'd lead many astray, and false Christs and false prophets would arise showing great signs and wonders, deceiving if possible even the very elect. And Jesus says, behold, you know, I've warned you, you know, ahead of time, that if possibly the elect will be deceived. And in Matthew 7, his Sermon on the Mount, he said, they'll come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they'll be ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruit. He gave us so many warnings about these false prophets. These warnings aren't just in the Old Testament, folks. They're in the New Testament as well. So we played clip after clip after clip, and we didn't get through all the clips. And I want to play not just Sean Bowles, who's a very prominent pastor here in Los Angeles, probably, I don't know, 45 minutes from us here or so. He used to work with Mike Bickle. I'm not sure their relationship now, in the National House of Praise. And he talked about how, yeah, they'd look at these false prophecies that were being given in that movement, you know? And the correction came by just telling people sorry when you were wrong, but not to stop being a prophet. And these are false prophets, folks. So we're going to play the first clip where he totally twists the scripture and talks about how you don't need to be writing your prophecies, because in the New Testament, you just need to love people.
The only debt that remains, according to Romans, is the debt of love, not accuracy. Praise Jesus.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine me telling a person that you don't really need to, you know, you don't need to be faithful to your wife because, you know, God's given me a word, you know, maybe he has another woman for you or whatever these guys are saying. And I'm not saying it approaches that. It approaches some pretty dastardly guidance, I'm sure, at times. And then that person goes astray, or telling somebody, which this guy has done, Sean Bowles, oh, don't worry, you know, I feel that, you know, God's revealing to me, or however he says it, that, you know, your child's going to live, that has cancer, And what we dealt with is prophecy. In fact, even Fox News had pointed out that he admits that he takes risk. He hundreds of risks, he says, when he prophesies. And he talks about a prophecy made of a kid that was going to live through cancer, and they died a few months later, you know? And we played where he actually said that, you know, he told somebody, just go tell that person you're sorry because you said this, their kid would live, and or their relative would live, and they died 20-some-odd days later, you know? But not that I repent. What you'd really do in a situation like that, you say, you know what? I can't believe it. I thought I heard from God. I just totally created great upheaval in a family that was already dealing with a child that was dying, you know? And I can't believe what I've said. You would go to them and you say, you know what? I am so sorry. I totally misspoke. In the name of the Lord, I repent. I am so sorry. You know, how could I bless you in some way? You probably don't want to see me again. I totally understand that. But I'm just letting you know, I repent. I will never make a prophecy again in the future. I am a false prophet. I repent of being a false prophet. That would be true humility. But rather it's, you know, better luck next time kind of thing. It's absolutely ridiculous. And here he says, you don't need to be accurate. You know, the scriptures say in the New Testament, the only debt you have is to love one another. Therefore, you don't have to be accurate. Can you imagine every time you hurt someone or do something evil or do something wrong? You know, oh, what do you tell that guy? Well, I told him that, you know, Muhammad's as good as Jesus. Pick either one. Oh, well, as long as you love him, you did it in a loving way because accuracy doesn't matter. What a lie, man. The Bible says speak the truth in love. The Bible says love rejoices in the truth. The Bible says those who do not love the truth will be given a strong delusion in the end. Love and truth go together. You cannot have true love if you are deceiving people and leading them astray. That's not love. That's evil and needs to be repented of. And by the way, he's twisting Paul's words. You know, Paul's the one that said, test everything, hold fast that which is good. Paul's the one who said, if someone prophesies 1 Corinthians 14, to judge it, you know, and take it seriously. He's taking a scripture about, oh, no man, nothing but to love him and twisting it in to mean that, hey, you can give false prophecies and you're still a prophet of God. By the way, that makes me think of Peter, who warned that the false teachers, the false prophets would move the goalpost. That's what he's doing. You know, can you imagine a guy who is, he only makes 3% of his kicks in the NFL. He's just had a really bad start. And then the referees allow the team to go out there and have a makeshift goalpost that they move, it's really big, and they move around wherever he kicks the ball, and he gets 3 points for it. I mean, there'd be upheaval. That's ridiculous. That wouldn't happen. Of course not. The secular world knows better. Do you think we don't know, or we ought to know better in the church of the living Christ, that such things are false? You don't move the goalpost and change the standards that God has given to accommodate your false prophecies. It's absolutely ridiculous. But Peter warned, just as this man twisted, Sean Bowles twisted the scripture in Romans, Peter warns that these false teachers would twist the scripture. In chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse 16 and 17, he writes, quote, he states, he writes the same in all his letters, speaking of Paul, Peter states, speaking in them these matters, his letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort. And by the way, that word distort is translated twist. The Greek word means to twist or distort, and it's used, that Greek word is used of a torture rack that's used to twist people in such a way to make them say things they wouldn't or normally say, to make them make false confessions, to distort what they're saying. And that's what they do with the scripture. They torture it. They twist it to say something else than it means. Paul never intended to mean that Sean Bowles can go around telling people they can give false prophecies because the only thing you owe man is to, or the only debt you have to God is to love. That's not what that scripture means. That's called eisegesis, not exegesis. Exegesis is from the Greek word ek. It's getting out of the scripture what God's given to us. Eisegesis is from eisegesis. It means to read into the scripture, and that's what false prophets do, and that's what he's doing here. Peter says these ignorant and unstable people distort, twist, as they do, not only Paul's letters, but the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your own secure position. So we have security in Christ, and the enemy can't snatch us out of the Lord's hands, but he's the father of lies, and he can lie to get you to depart from the Lord. You need to make sure that you're not carried away with the error of the wicked and fall from your secure position. Let's go ahead and play that next clip.
So if I'm one of your forerunners, there's many forerunners, but if I'm one of them, and this many of you have gathered to see, one of the things I want you to walk away with is don't be afraid to be inaccurate.
Wow. Somebody else comment. I'm having a heart attack over here.
Well, I just find it to be, it's sad that, I mean, we're laughing because it's just so ridiculous. It's
absolutely
so ridiculous that somebody could claim. When you see the prophets in Scripture, the word of the Lord came, or the Lord came unto me saying, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, it's not maybe, it's not, I think that there's a guy named Steve in your life. It is literally God
exactly,
came
bro.
And spoke.
Yeah.
Very clearly.
Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord came to me and they speak. And I was thinking that very thing when you were saying that before you mentioned Steve, I thought, yeah, like, you know, he's like, oh, is there a Steve in your life somewhere? A relative, maybe a cousin, a nephew. And then he's fishing, and you know, he's trying to look, you know, it's just very, very heartbreaking. And he literally says there, I don't want, he's telling these, he's teaching these people how to be false prophets. Don't worry, you don't have to be accurate. In other words, just go try it out. And how will they know if they're a prophet or not? Well, if they're inaccurate, they won't know they're not a prophet, because that's part of being a true prophet today. It's just, it's absolutely wicked, brothers and sisters. Rick Joyner, he's one of the leaders of this last days false prophetic movement. And in his prophetic ministry, the Morning Star prophetic newsletter, Rick Joyner, he's speaking to the Kansas City prophets, which Sean Bowles has been affiliated with in the past, who've put out, you know, a lot of false prophets in the IHOP movement. And he speaks of Bob Jones, who is one of the leaders of this movement. By the way, a couple of these leaders in the Kansas City prophet movement, there was Paul Kane and Paul Jones. One of these guys would literally have gals come in and have them undress in front of him and get naked in front of him, and so he could inspect their spirituality. And then it came out that he was a drunkard, you know? A lot of these guys, these were the two main prophets, Bob Jones and Paul Kane of the Kansas City prophets for a while. He says of Bob Jones, this is Rick Joyner, you know, very big name in the New Apostolic Reformation. Quote, Bob Jones, he says, or Bob, was told that the general level of prophetic revelation in the church was about 65% accurate at this time. In other words, 35%, and they're probably being generous about accuracy there. In other words, 35 are the false in their circles are false prophets or false prophecies. He goes, some are only about 10% accurate. Can you imagine somebody prophesying over you, putting their hand on you and say, thus saith the Lord. And you're like, oh, God, I got the 10% accurate guy. You know, it's just mind blowing that this goes on. But it's interesting. How does he justify this? Very similar ways. Because this has been going on around a while. You guys, I used to wonder, I used to read the scriptures, I'm like, man, people are going to just, hopefully just see through these false prophets because of all their false prophecies. And, you know, just got to give the warnings, you know. Jesus warned about them over and over again through the Gospels, Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have, you know, the prophetic scriptures. So we want to give people a heads up. They're going to see all these false prophecies. Then when these false prophecies come, and guess what? How would we, as apologists in the Christian church, defeat Mormonism, the Watchtower, you know, the cults. Oftentimes, we would show their leaders were false prophets. We go through Joseph Smith's false prophecies. We go through of Mormonism. We'd look at the Watchtower's false prophecies. Well, guess what? Christians were at one in their understanding. You make a false prophecy, you're not a true prophet of God. And a lot of XJWs and Mormons have come out of that, those cults, only to find themselves in churches that justify false prophecy. And I started to realize a number of years ago, wow, this is how these guys are getting around all being false prophets. They're basically counting on their church members to be biblically illiterate and not know the tests that are given for prophets, which we're going to be looking at the profiles of false prophets and the scriptures and what the scriptures have to say about false prophets in a few minutes. And they're banking on them not really looking at these scriptures or understanding the context of certain scriptures and then just going with that they themselves being spiritual authorities over them, and I'm hearing from God at least 10% of the time, maybe, and therefore you must listen to me, and my interpretation is that God allows me to make false prophecies. And guess what? People in the church that should be running, not walking, the next nearest exit in these churches are just spellbound. and just sitting and lapping it up. And in many cases, they're becoming disciples of these people, and they're running around giving false prophecies and trying out their prophecies on people. That's what happens. So what happens is when they have this audience that they're conning to believe them, these guys go out and do the same thing. They feel bad about their false prophecies. Instead of repenting, they're being told by their leaders it's okay. So you got a bunch of false prophets in these churches that have been turned loose on the world, guys. Very, very heartbreaking. Anyways, listen to how Rick Joyner goes on to justify. Well, he actually interacts with the scripture in Deuteronomy 18, which warns about false prophets, and actually talks about stoning them to death. He says, quote, "One of the greatest hazards affecting maturing prophets," and this is in his Morningstar prophetic newsletter. That's what it's called, the Morningstar prophetic newsletter. Rick Joyner states in volume 3, number 2, page 2, "One of the greatest hazards affecting maturing prophets is the erroneous interpretation of the Old Testament exhortation that if a prophet ever predicted something which had not come to pass, he was no longer to be considered a true prophet." And he cites the scripture. See Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22. So far, so good, but except for him saying that's erroneous. The scripture's erroneous? The warning, he goes on to say, was that if this happened, the prophet had been presumptuous, and the people were not to fear him. If one predicts something in the name of the Lord and it does not come to pass, he probably has spoken presumptuously and it needs to be repented of. But that does not make him a false prophet. Did you catch that? He needs to repent of his false prophet. It doesn't make him a false prophet. Because keep in mind, he says some of the prophets that he associates with are only 10% accurate. But guess what? Even one of the verses he cites, but he doesn't have it, you know, quoted, he just has the reference, citation, the address, is Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 22. Deuteronomy 18, 20, folks, literally says that prophet is to be stoned to death. Now, that's the Old Testament, but he's exegeting the Old Testament, folks. Now, we're not Israel, so we don't stone false prophets to death, but guess what? We warn them to flee from the wrath to come, that they need to repent, because the scriptures are clear in Revelation chapter 21:8 that all liars will go to the lake of fire. It's one thing to tell a lie. If you're a liar and you don't repent and you're just this habitual liar and you don't get right with God, you're going to go to the lake of fire. You got to repent. But you know what's even worse is using God's name in vain and lying in the name of Jesus. These guys are in huge, huge trouble with the Lord. In fact, right here, we're going to see a clip from Mike Bickle, the head of the International House of Praise. Huge movement. A lot of people are associated with. And him talking about the prophets in the IHOP movement and the Kansas City prophets of the past.
I get probably, I don't know how many dreams or visions sent to me because of the internet around the world, email, or even people from our city that aren't a part of IHOP and people part of IHOP. And most of them I don't pay attention to. I just think they're distraction. I think they're not real. I don't mean the people aren't real. Some of them are faking it. And there's a lot of people faking it. But even good people just have dumb stuff. It's just dumb. And I'd say probably 80% of what I hear, I throw it away.
Wow. It's just dumb stuff, though. He goes on to say that he doesn't doubt their walks with the Lord, even though they're making up a bunch of stuff, and 80% of their prophecies are false. It's just heartbreaking. So you have the International House of, I'm sorry, not praise, but of prayer. And you go to these places and you go to the rooms and they'll tell you your fortune in some cases, or, you know, they'll tell you your future. And, you know, most of the time it's going to be wrong. Mike, don't you feel you should fall on your face before God and say, how could I allow this to go on and claim this is from God? But guess what? If that happened, I don't think you'd have any prophets left in that movement.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I think it's so sad that when you allow numbers and people in that to just at all erode your care for truth, I mean, it really is a heartbreaking thing, and this is the fruit of that.
Yeah. Amen, absolutely. In fact, we've got just a little bit of time left. I want to get in the scriptures that profile a false prophet. So it looks like, folks, we won't have any clips probably for the last episode. After this one, because we're going to have a part three. We're just going to get into a bunch of scriptures as to what you're supposed to be looking for. But we're going to get into that for a few minutes now. I'll try to go through a bunch of them real quick. First of all, the Apostle John warned to test those who claim to be prophets in 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. See, there's demons behind these things, folks. It's not just this cavalier thing where, well, the person makes false prophecies. There's demons that are using these people in many cases. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, okay? There's many biblical tests One of those tests is in Deuteronomy 18, which I mentioned earlier. But do they give false prophecies? Listen to this scripture. I've referenced it, but I haven't quoted it yet. Listen to Deuteronomy 18, 21 through 22. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. Why? Because God is 100% accurate, folks. There's no shadow of turning with him. His words never fall to the ground. It goes on to say, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Okay? Now, it's interesting. Notice verse 20, the verse that comes right before those two verses I just read. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which many of these prophets, these false prophets are doing in the Kansas City, or the Kansas City prophets, and Sean Bowles admits he's been doing this, those associated with the NAR movement, the Bethel movement, the International House of Prayer, so forth, quote, but the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. In other words, he states it really clearly. Someone preaches in his name, and it doesn't come to pass, and I haven't commanded him to speak it, that prophet, he says, shall die. That's serious, folks. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27, now a man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist, and these folks often prophesied, shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. Deuteronomy chapter 13 warns of false prophets giving false prophecies and what's to happen to them. Verse 5, such a prophet or dreamer must be put to death because he has advocated rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery in order to turn you from the way of the Lord your God has commanded you to walk in. You must purge the evil from among you. Verses 10 and 11, stone him to death for trying to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and of the place of slavery. All Israel will hear and be afraid, and they will no longer do anything evil like this among you. Now keep in mind, we are talking about Israel, so nobody pick up rocks right now. Get on your knees and pray for these people. Pray for them to repent and get right with Jesus, because this is serious stuff. But I've quoted in verse after verse after verse about how false prophets, false teachers, and so forth were put to death in Israel because God was so concerned about the eternal welfare of his people being led astray from the true word of God, amen, and coming to know Messiah, to false idols, to counterfeit gods, and being plunged into the lake of fire for eternity. That's why it's so serious to God. And if you wink and nod at false prophecies like it's no big deal, you need to get right with God. You need to see how much this matters to God. Okay? It's like, well, yeah, oh, so they're not going to be stoned to death? Worse. Okay? All liars, it says, will go to the lake of fire. It's worse. And in chapter 7, Jesus talked about the broad road that these false prophets are leading other people on and are on that leads to destruction. Amen? The Bible says of these false prophets that they'll be sent into everlasting fire. This is very, very, very serious. Another question you would ask is, do they speak in accordance with the word of God? Well, guess what? You guys, I'm seeing our time is running out, and I'm going to let Chad sign off. But you know what? We just started getting the profile of false prophets. You guys need to know what the scriptures say about this. So we'll catch you on part three of this series.
Yeah, guys. Yeah, please, guys, don't forget to share this one as well as the other one. And if you could share all three together in a quick copy and paste, and that'd be great, because we'd love for people to understand, first of all, why Sean Bowles is dangerous, Mike Bickle, Rick Joyner, and then the principle
Bill Johnson.
And of course, Bill Johnson. The principle of profiling these false prophets so that you can look at the word of God, profile them, and point them out and mark them. Praise God.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.